Time to talk some basketball as we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Well, going well, thank you. It's been an interesting first week or so of the Celtics' new season.
Yeah, a few things have happened. But in the midst of everything, the Celtics seem to be focused on what's happening on the floor, which is good. They seem to have rallied around each other. Mm. They are kind of trying to block out the noise. And you know, you hear teams talk about blocking out noise, but the Celtics seem to be doing it fairly effectively. So everything in camp sounds pretty good. It looks pretty good. Looks pretty normal. I never would have guessed anything was going wrong, except other to look around and go, where's Ime? But other than that, everything seems pretty good with these guys.
And again, it's only one game. It's preseason, and it was Charlotte, but that was still a pretty impressive performance.
Yeah, and that speaks to the level of focus. I think that type of game was what they needed for a preseason opener amidst everything. You know, it's one of those things where any sort of misstep would have raised the question, oh, are they being bothered? Is this something that's impacting them? Are they worried about anything? All the negative questions would have come in. And they really immediately put a lot of that to bed by storming out and really looking like they were ready for a regular season game, but not a preseason game. You know, you have things like Malcolm Brogdon coming in and looking like he just has been playing with these guys and not looking like a guy who's had 1 week of basketball or 2 weeks of basketball with them. So all I can say is, you know, for a team with this many question marks around them, they have comported themselves well, and they looked pretty good on the floor. And in a game where it would have been understandable if they didn't, but they came out with a level of focus and intensity that really showed how well they are rallying around each other.
And you know, how much of this, maybe you can read too much into it, but how much of this going forward is especially Brown and Tatum wanting to make a statement that, look, Ime is a great coach, but ultimately it was the players that got us where we ended up getting last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing. I think there's a level of, I don't know, I don't want to say ego, but, you know, if I were a player on that team and you hear so many of the analysts out there saying, oh, I don't know about the Celtics now. They lost Ime. He got them to the finals. And you say, okay, yeah, yes, Ime did have a big hand in getting them to the finals. The narrative from last year was, once they bought into what Ime was selling, then they took off. However, it was the players who had to do it, and the players know how to do it. And the good thing is, you don't have to give that back now that Ime's gone. You know, you don't, just because he's been suspended doesn't mean you have to forget all of the good things that he taught the team on the floor. Everything that he did off the court, yeah, don't do that. That's terrible. Don't do that stuff. But the stuff that's on the floor, he was a good coach. And they can say, you know what? We can take the lessons that he taught us. We can take the stuff that he showed us on the floor. And we are good enough to build on that ourselves. So I do think that there's some level of the guys understanding that they control what happens on the floor and not just the coach.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. In the last few days, they signed veteran Blake Griffin. I don't know, John. I look at this as almost a no-lose situation for them. Whatever minutes they can get out of him is gravy.
Yeah, veteran minimum deals, no matter who it is, and even some of the names that were thrown out there that I wouldn't normally want on the team, you do have to get yourself to a point where it's a veteran minimum deal. It's basically no risk. The worst thing that happens is the owners spend a little extra money. And so, you know, obviously rich people don't get rich by spending money and wasting money, but it is a no risk signing, because if it doesn't work, you can just cut them. And you know, it's a veteran minimum deal, not a big deal. However, he does have some skills that I think can work for these guys. He can move the ball. He does recognize how to run an offense. He's played with some really great offensive players. He gets what his role is. He knows why he's here. He knows where he is in his career. He's a guy that said flat out, I was waiting for camps to end and then just to kind of scan the landscape and see. If you're a player who hasn't signed with a team before training camp, you know that you're not a very good player anymore. You have a very defined role. Star players aren't out there right now waiting for post-camp contracts. So he gets all that, and he seems to have a good attitude about everything. He seems to be, a nice enough person. The couple of interactions I've had with him, he seems to get everything, understand what the Celtics are looking for. And I think if he can come in 5 minutes at a time and not be a negative on the floor, then he has an opportunity to be helpful.
Well, they can certainly use a big, but at the same time, Jondo, there's some indications that we might see a smaller lineup on the floor more frequently this season.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see a little bit more of the Tatum at center. Not that I'm looking for Tatum to play center, but just these lineups where it's Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, which effectively make Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum your power forward and your center. But really, it's part of the 2022 NBA. You're playing five-out basketball. Everybody's on the perimeter, and they can all do something with the ball. There are bumps in the road. I did see, and we only saw it for a few minutes in the game, so you can't just take that and say, okay, this is definitively how it looks. But it is a data point, and it is something that they get on film. I mean, preseason is all about getting stuff on film, looking at it and saying, okay, this worked, that didn't. I think there's some things that can work with that lineup, but I think defensively they need to make some adjustments to prevent some of the plays that can take advantage of a Derek White who got posted up. You don't want to have Derek White be pinned underneath the basket and give a big, just easy layups. So you want to come up with some sort of zone or something that can kind of protect to get that. And then I think offensively, they just need to kind of figure out in that alignment, who's setting the screens, who's handling the ball, and how do you run just a cohesive offense where you can take advantage of the speed and the skill rather than, you don't want to put five guys like that out there and just have four of them standing around while one guy attacks a matchup. So there's something to be, I think, gleaned from this positively, but there are certainly things that they need to work out. It's a lab that they could use situationally that could be pretty effective.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Good stuff as always, John. Thank you much. Have a good week, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then.